Good morning. Good morning to you. Good morning to those that are online. Good morning to Connecting Point. We're excited because in your presence, all our fears are washed away. I don't know if you caught the line of that song. In your presence, all our fears are washed away. Do you believe that this morning? That in God's presence, all of our fears and doubts and worries are washed away. And that leads us into what we're talking about and during this series called The Wonder of God. Say that with me. The Wonder of God. And before we get into that today, I wanted to just say a couple of thank yous this morning. For those of you who are online, you may not be able to obviously see all over the place today, but Kimberly Stone did a great job decorating our Christmas trees and decorating our lobby, and so we want to say a special thank you to Kimberly this morning, and also a special thank you to Rena Johnston, who cut out all the nativity figures that are on the stage here today. So let's give those two ladies a hand for that. Thank you so much for doing that, being a part of that. We're excited about that and today in this series. Also wanted to say a special thank you to all of those who've been praying for the staff. We've had some in quarantine, some dealing with COVID. And so I think everybody's on the mend. And we're continuing to pray for those that are in quarantine and those that are dealing with COVID today, especially our doctors and nurses as they deal with this. But today we're talking about the wonder of God. Pastor Adam did a great job last week talking about the wonder of God. And he spoke specifically about Zechariah and Elizabeth and how God used John the Baptist as a forerunner for God and how we can have peace because of that. But I wanted to spend just a little bit of time today talking about this word wonder before we get into today. We're going to be focusing on Mary today. The angel appears to Mary, and so we're going to be parked next to that in Matthew chapter 1, verse 26, if you want to go there and kind of have that ready. But when you think of the word wonder, I don't know what you wonder about when you think of the word wonder, but the dictionary says these three words. Let's read them together. Astonishment, amazement, and admiration. Astonishment, amazement, and admiration. I remember several years ago, we went to Branson, to Silver Dollar City, and they had the Globetrotters in for a day, and so we got to watch them play, and I was just astonished, amazed, and admired all their different tricks and skills that they have. Some of us admire, you know, the way that someone plays an instrument or something they do athletically. We have things that marvel us, that we're astonished by. But even greater than that today, we are astonished and amazed and admire the wonder of God. You know, I think this series is really timely right now because in the middle of COVID, in the middle of a pandemic and political unrest and so much uncertainty going on in our community, schools, and you know, are we going to have online? Are we going to stay open? Or can parents come and watch their kids play ball? Can they not? You know, are hospitals getting overwhelmed? All the fears and things that go around in our brains and in our minds and the people that we know, it's real easy to kick to the curb the wonder of God. It's real easy to miss the presence of God because we're focused on all these things that I just mentioned. But this morning, we have an opportunity as we wrap up 2020 with the last series of 2020. And let's just be honest, this has been a weird year, just a crazy year, a year like no other year that I can remember, and probably many of you can even imagine. And yet, in the midst of that, it's kind of the way it was when Jesus came into the world. There was a lot of political unrest. There was a lot of wondering what the prophecies meant in the Old Testament. There was a lot of speculating as to who Jesus was going to be and how he was going to come back. There was a lot of that going on. And yet, the wonder of God took place when Jesus comes into an unsuspecting barn and is born in a manger, you know, and is conceived from a virgin. The wonder of God happens in the midst of all this uncertainty and unrest taking place in their political climate at that time as well. This morning, I can't help but think that we have an opportunity today to block out all the worries and concerns that represent so many different things and think about the wonder of God. The wonder of God. We know this, but we don't think about this. God created galaxies. We're going to get to our story today, but I just want to spend just a minute here thinking about the wonder of God. God created galaxies. Now, When I was a youth pastor here at this church, we had a kid in our youth group. His name was Andrew, and Andrew was really smart. Andrew got a 35 out of 36 on his ACT. He was a genius. He said, yeah, I screwed up the reading part. I got a 35 on that. And he goes, what'd you get? And I go, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's about you, buddy. It's not about me, all right? I didn't get a 35. But Andrew was smart. I mean, he was so smart that it was hard sometimes to have, you know, a normal, like, dialogue about something because his brain was clear up here. Y'all know people like that? They're just really smart. And, you know, even those people that we know that are over-the-top smart, they'd be in the same boat we are when it comes to how did God create galaxies? He spoke them into existence. What? No, really. How did he create, like, what's the math? What's the wonder, the amazement of God? Here's what Scripture says. We have to believe this in faith. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was what, church? Formed at God's what? Command. They didn't have to get together in a group and strategize and think about how this could take place. He didn't get together with the angels and have staff meetings and kind of do some planning and some goal. He didn't do it. He spoke it. And at his command, the galaxies were formed. The wonder of God. Now think about that for a second. Set aside your worries. Set aside where is this guy going with this for just a minute. And think about that for a second. We serve a God that created galaxies. We serve a God that breathed life into human beings. We see in Genesis where God creates. He creates the heavens. He creates the earth. He creates land. He creates animals. He creates fish. He creates all these different things. And then he creates this person out of dirt. You ever went to your fridge and said, try to make a meal out of something? You don't have much to work with because you're in quarantine? Yeah, me neither. You got to make something out, you know? You got to make a meal out of this? Ramen noodles and pork beans? How are you supposed to make something out of that? God takes dirt and makes a human being, and then breathes life into them. Listen to what Genesis says. Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed the breath of what? Of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person. God created galaxies. God created humanity. God even knows the numbers of hair on our head. Now, some of you don't, that's not too many to count. But for others of us, you know, that's a lot. Listen to what this says. And the very hairs on your head are all what? Numbered. God created galaxies. The wonder of God. God breathed life and made man out of dust. And God knows the number of hair follicles. Surprised I knew that word, right? Follicle, okay? I have a wife. Follicles. He knows the number of hair follicles on your head. That's the God that we serve. The wonder of God, being amazed by God. When's the last time in the middle of COVID, in the middle of a pandemic, in the middle of your worries, stresses, doubts, or somebody else trying to give you worries, stresses, or doubts, were you amazed by God? He's a God of wonders. Not only did he create galaxies, not only did he breathe life into human beings, not only does he know our hairs, and for some of us, that's a lot. Some of you are hairy people. But he also had a plan. He didn't just create. He had this wonder of God, this God of wonders plan for humanity to be in relationship with him. He created something, and then he had relationship with them. Some of your best friends are your parents. You know, I hear adults say sometimes, my dad is my best friend, or my mom is my best friend. Or you'll even hear an adult say, you know, my child is my best friend. Sometimes when they're growing up, we're not called to be their best friend. We're called to parent them, but there is a point in life where our kids can become our best friend. What we kind of created, I mean, God created them, but we kind of helped that. And now we have a relationship with them, and it's what God wanted and what he designed for all of us is to not only be created in his image, but to have relationship with him. Think about that. He breathed life into you and desires relationship with you. That's an amazing plan. Of course, we know from Scripture, this is all going somewhere. Of course, we know from Scripture that we kind of screwed it up. Some of us want to blame Eve, but Adam had a part in it too. We ate the apple and sin entered the world. God said, don't do that, and we did that. And now there's a separation. You know, kids, when you do something that you weren't supposed to do, your parents told you not to, or someone gave you good advice as an adult, hey, don't invest in that, don't do that, don't do that, and you did it anyway. And sometimes it wasn't just bad decisions, it was a sinful choice that there were consequences for. And now this relationship was broken. What does this have to do with Jesus coming? It has everything to do with it. And throughout the entire Old Testament, God is bringing about this plan that we're studying and we're celebrating, and part of why we worship Jesus this morning is his coming into the world to eventually die and resurrect from the dead. And you know, sometimes when there's a plan, there's a time of silence. Stay with me on this. There's a time where the cookies aren't done. The turkey's not done cooking. And you just have to trust that it's going to be done. There's 400 years of silence between the Old Testament and the New Testament where God says nothing. And all that the people have is his word and faith that the prophecy is going to be fulfilled. The wonder of God, wrap your mind around that. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, God sends this angel to this prophet Zechariah that Adam talked about last week. And he says, hey, listen, your wife has been barren her whole life. She's going to have a child. That child's going to be John the Baptist, and John's going to be the forerunner for Jesus. And Zechariah has doubts. He's like, what are you talking about? And the angel says, listen, you're going to be mute until the baby's born for your lack of faith. 400 years of silence, and then all of a sudden, God speaks and God moves. I want to tell you something, church. If you're in a valley of silence, if you're in a moment right now where you feel like, where are the answers? When's COVID going to end? Folks, trust God. He's not forsaken us. Emmanuel, God is with us. And then today, we're looking at the story of where the angel Gabriel appears to Mary. If you have your Bibles and you want to turn with me to Luke chapter 1, verse 26, or even at home, you can get on the YouVersion app, go to the events section, click on Pitnazar Connecting Points, the notes and scriptures will be up there. But here's what happens. Mary has read the prophecies just like everybody else. She just didn't know that it was going to be her. I mean, she'd read Isaiah 7:14, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they'll call him Emmanuel. She'd read that. She knew the story. She didn't know when, but she trusted. She had faith. And she probably thought the same way that any of us would. I'm a nobody from nowhere. I'm young. I'm a teenager. I'm poor. I have no status. Back then, females were looked at as second-class people. I mean, who am I? And Mary's trying to be faithful to God. She's in awe of who God is. But silence. Sometimes we're that way, where God isn't saying anything. And then all of a sudden, this angel, Gabriel, appears to Mary and says a lot of stuff. But basically, he says, you're going to conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus, and he's going to be the Savior of the world. And he goes on to explain all these different things. You can read about it in Genesis chapter 1, starting with verse 26. And Mary, the Bible says that Mary is confused and disturbed. I love those two words, confused and disturbed. Say that with me, confused and disturbed. Do you guys know people that are confused and disturbed? Okay, don't point to anybody, all right? Confused and disturbed. In fact, if you could sum up 2020, you could say confused and disturbed. I mean, we can laugh, guys, it's okay. We're real serious today. Confused and disturbed. Not confused and disturbed in the way that, like, she doesn't have faith, but just confused and disturbed. The same way when you wake up from a nap and someone starts talking to you and you have no idea where you're at and what's going on you're like, what? What? Her first thought probably wasn't the prophecy, and she probably wasn't thinking, oh yeah, it's probably me. She's probably just thinking, like, what is going on? And she asked this question, I haven't slept with any man. I've been with no one. How can this be? Let's say that. How can this be? You know, we ask that question. How can this be that we've been in this COVID thing for the last year? How can this be that feels like there's more political unrest than there's been in recent memory? How can this be that I don't get to participate in the same things that I get to participate, that, you know, other people got to participate in? How can this be that my graduation looks different than somebody else's? How can this be that there's all this uncertainty and unrest and all this stuff? How can this be that you're here, God, that you're with us in the midst of all this? How can this be? And Mary joins those questions and she's like, how can this be? I'm a virgin. I've been with no one. And there's a scripture, right? I mean, I'll be honest with you, as a pastor, a Christmas series is a challenge because y'all have heard it several times. If you're new to the church, then maybe you haven't heard it, so this is fresh for you. But it's a challenge as a pastor to tell a story to you when you've heard it a million times and you've heard it preached a million ways. I've read this scripture on the screen a lot, but this week this scripture really stood out to me because when Mary asked, how can this be, the angel says, I'll tell you how it's going to be. It's going to happen because the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. I got to thinking about that in the middle of this pandemic. How can we worship God? How can we have the perspective, a God perspective? How can we be what God wants us to be in the middle of all this unrest and uncertainty and all the things that make up today? How can this be? The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you in the middle of COVID, in the middle of the unrest, in the middle of the political uncertainty. How can this be? How can this be? The Holy Spirit will come upon you. Church, today, in the middle of your how can this be, what am I going to do? If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. How am I going to get through this? How is he going to get through this? How is she going to get through this? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. In fact, for just a minute, I want you to think about it. You don't have to close your eyes, but I just want you to think and reflect for just a minute today about something that's on your mind right now that's burdening you, that you're concerned about. Maybe you're concerned about how you're going to pay for Christmas. Maybe you're concerned about, I don't have any idea, but something you're concerned about. And you don't have the answer. What if, how can this be, how am I going to get through this, is the same answer and response that Gabriel gave Mary when she asked, how can this be? Emmanuel, God is with us. The wonder of God. You know, one of the most powerful things is presence. My son Luke, the other day, he's starting to articulate himself better. He said, "Dad, would you just sit in here with me? Do you want to play a game? No. No. I just want you to be by me." My brother and sister are busy. They don't want to play with me. Would you just sit with me? Just as a parent, being with my child brought comfort to him. Can I tell you today that in the midst of everything that's going on, God is with us? What else you got, Pastor? That's it. Because sometimes we live like we've forgotten that. God is with us. If you have a relationship with Jesus, he's with you. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, he offers you a relationship so that he can be with you. And not only did he create you, and not only does he want you to manage and navigate, you know, the uncertainties of life, but God has a plan for you. And that plan that he has for you doesn't require your abilities. Mary didn't have any abilities. The God of the universe, he values our availability over our ability all day, every day. When you look at this story and you think about Mary today, she was available. What good is Patrick Mahomes if he's not available? What good are gifts and talents that aren't available? In fact, we need to be reminded today that God is the one who supplies the gifts and the graces and the fruit of the Spirit. We're just called to be available. You can use me. I don't have much. I got some bread and some fish. There's a whole 5,000 people here. All I have is a few things here, but you can have it. How can this be? I'm a teenager. I'm young. I'm poor. I'm no one. Yeah. You. And we can miss his presence in our life. And we can miss the moments that God has marked out for us to be salt and light and encouragement to people because we're focused on the doubt and the worry and the how and the details and miss the wonder of God. How do you explain to someone how you fall in love with someone? Like, my kids have started asking questions about how you met mommy or how you met daddy and how'd you guys fall in love or whatever. And like, that's kind of a hard question to explain, like, how? I don't know. Just sitting there with her and it's like, kind of like her. And it kept, you know, growing. At the end of a hard year for all of us, I can't think of a better thing than to focus on the wonder of God, to be brought back to what's important. God was with us before COVID. He's with us during, and he'll be with us after. He is with us. And how we're going to get through, how we're going to be able to navigate what God's plans are for us. Should we take the job? Should we not? How are we going to pay the bills or whatever it might be for you? We just need to know that God is in charge. God's presence is the only qualifier that we need. God's presence is the only qualifier needed for the plans that he has for us. You want me to carry the Messiah? How can this be? My presence. I'll help you. You want me to keep my mouth shut? How am I going to be able to do that? My presence. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. You want me to have faith during a time where it feels like there's like 400 years of silence? Yeah, my presence. You want me to keep waiting? We asked this question, what good is our ability? Or earlier, we made the statement that it's our availability, not our ability. And think about this question along with that. What good is our ability if we aren't surrendered and available to God? God has plans and he has purposes for those that are at home, and God has plans and purposes for those of us that are here. He has plans and purposes every day. We tend to focus on the highlights. We tend to focus on those major days in our life. But did you know that God has a plan for how you're going to treat the person that talks about you? God has a plan for how you're supposed to deal with the mundane. God has a plan for you to worship him in the good times and the bad times. And it's not based on ability, it's based on just surrendering and being available to God. How can this be? Mary, I didn't call you because you're qualified. I qualified you because you're called. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not a teacher. My kids are in quarantine. I wouldn't be good at homeschooling. I'll just be honest with you. After a while, it's just, I'm not qualified. My wife is just like, just follow the notes, follow the instructions. Just listen to what the teacher gave you to do. You know, it's kind of like that way in life. We spend all of our time worried about what we can't do or are we doing it right? What if we just followed the instructions? How can this be? Mary, I'll be with you. I'm not going to tell you where you're going to have the baby. I'm not going to tell you that people aren't going to look down on you because they're going to think you're pregnant, not by the Holy Spirit. They're going to think you're pregnant because, you know, you were sleeping around. But listen, here's the deal. Trust me. People are going to talk about you. People are going to reject you. It's going to be a pretty long trip to register back in Nazareth, and it's going to be difficult on you. But listen, I'm qualifying you because I called you. Someone needs to hear that today. Because you're doing the math, and you don't feel qualified for whatever God's got for you. You don't have to be qualified. God supplies the ability. We supply the availability. God gets the glory when we depend on his divine ability and surrender our availability. That's not just a statement that you can tweet out that kind of sounds rhymey and all that. There's a lot of truth behind that today. It's his divine ability that enabled Mary to carry Jesus. It's his divine ability that enables you to keep your mouth shut when you'd really like to say something. It's his divine ability that allows you to continue to trust and to continue to pray when you don't see the answers and the results that you'd like to see. It's his divine ability, and it's simply our availability. God, use me. And it's also our obedience. I would really like to say this, but you're telling me not to, Holy Spirit. I would really like to do that, but you're telling me that's not for me. I would really, it's your ability, it's your presence, it's your power, and I'm called to be obedient. The God of the universe values our availability over our ability. Let's finish it. All day. Try that again. All day, every day. Sometimes you'll hear the term coachability. That kid that has all the talent in the world but's not coachable versus the kid who doesn't have a ton of talent but he's so coachable and he works hard. God's looking for people not that are full of talent and ability, but just people who are available and teachable and will do what he asks us to do. Mary, you don't have much. Yeah, you're young. Yeah, you're poor. Yeah, people are going to look down on you, but you're humble and you're willing to do what I ask. In fact, later, towards the end of that story, when the angel's appearing to Mary, Mary says, I'm the Lord's servant. May everything that you've said about me come true. And then the angel left her. What if the desire of our heart was simply to bring God glory and say, Lord, whatever you have for me, that's what I want to have happen. Imagine what God can do if we're available and surrendered to him. Available and surrendered. When the angel appeared to Mary, it wouldn't have gone on Instagram. There was nothing really neat about it. It was neat, the fact that the angel was there and the presence of God was there, but it wasn't like she went out and everything, you know, people all of a sudden knew this story and everything had changed. She knew what was changing, but other people didn't know what was changing. It was just a day for most people. When Jesus was born in a manger, there wasn't this massive announcement. The shepherds knew, a few people knew, but the wonder of God was still taking place whether everybody knew about it or not. What are you getting at, Pastor? I'm telling you, on your day in and your day out where things are going on in your life and other people maybe don't see that same presence of God or see the wonder of God taking place in your perspective or something else that might be, we can still worship and celebrate God because he is with us regardless of what's going on. So I want to ask you a question as we wrap things up this morning and the band comes. Where have you seen the wonder of God? Have you ever just sat and watched your child breathe? Chest go in and out. Have you seen someone do a kind act for another person? Have you been praying about something and it was answered? Have you been walking beside the ocean and hear the waves, see the waves coming in and going out? You ever driven through the flatlands of Kansas and all of a sudden the mountains appear? Has someone ever given you grace when you deserve justice? Have you all of a sudden had a perspective that changed everything for you? The wonder of God. This morning, as we stand together this morning, have you missed God's wonder because your mind is entrenched in fear, anxiety, stress, depression, whatever it might be this morning? What if today we simply said, God, you are a God of wonders, and I worship you today, and I trust you. And I know that when I can't see, that you're there for me. What if that was our perspective today?